I first want to set up a kind of an understanding for you, and then we'll talk about the readings. And the understanding is this: human life, particularly the spiritual life, could be divided into two parts: first half of life and second half of life. And the first half of life is characterized by building up, learning how to dress yourself, tie your own shoes, get educated, find a spouse, get a home, a job. It's all about building up the ego, the self. And the second half of life is giving it away, letting it go. It's finding out that as your body is deteriorating, that's not the worst thing that could happen. It's finding out that all this building up you did really doesn't amount to much, because it all belongs to God anyway. And you're going to God, and you're going to the kingdom, and so what is all this for? But you have to get the first half before you can have the second half. Now, these readings about call and those radical, immediate responses, they don't make any sense in the first half of life. In the first half of life, it's all about law. It's about obeying your parents. And what do kids confess in confession? I disobeyed my mother and father. Okay? It's all about building up the law and becoming a good citizen, a good person. But in the second half of life, it's not that you abandon the law, but you've moved so far beyond it that you don't have to memorize the law anymore. You just do it instinctively. And you can break a few rules, because what difference does it really make? Not just for the sake of breaking rules, but because you can recognize the ones that really matter and the ones that don't. But in the first half of life, you can't get there. Elijah calls his successor Elisha. And Elisha is farming with 12 yoke of oxen and plows. And when he is called, he goes back and he slaughters the oxen and uses the plowing equipment to build a fire to boil their flesh, and he gives it to his family and his kin, and then he follows Elijah. This is the radical saying goodbye to everything, letting it all go, just burning it all up and giving it away. But you know, one of the points of that story is there's an exaggeration going on here. 12 yoke of oxen, that's a lot. I don't care how big the plowing equipment was, it couldn't build a fire enough to boil 12 oxen. It's all about exaggeration. What the text is saying is that Elisha had something to give away. You can't give unless you have something. And you can't give it away unless you are confident that you have it. And one of the reasons this giving away stuff that's in the gospel all the time kind of frightens us and jars us is because we don't feel confident enough in ourselves that we can give it away, that we can let it go. We're not sure we have it yet. So people in the first half of life, and it's usually under 50, and sometimes people in their 80s don't get to the second half. But if you're in that first half of life, that just doesn't make any sense. And so you gloss that over, and you hear those texts over and over again every time they come up in the liturgy, and you just let them pass by because you just can't deal with that. Okay, in the gospel, Jesus is talking to three different people, and it just gets more radical as the time goes on. I'll follow you wherever you go, but first let me say goodbye to my family. And Jesus says, anyone who sets his hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. Well, that sounds really radical, and it is. But if you're in the second half of life, you realize that he's not talking about that you can't get heaven. He's talking about that kingdom that is now. And when you are in the second half of life and you are confident of letting go and being in God and throwing yourself into the hands of God and trusting in that radical way that you can only do in the second half of life, well, then the kingdom is already there for you. There's another gospel account where Jesus is talking to a young scribe, And they're talking about what's the greatest law. And the scribe says, well, to love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says to that young man, you are not far from the kingdom. He's that close. Or another time, when a young man comes up to Jesus and says, well, okay, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, I get that. I've done that. Okay, what else should I do? And Jesus says, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the poor man walks away because, unlike Elisha, he just isn't confident that he has it to give away. He's rich, but he doesn't feel rich. How many people are in this world who have tons of money, who have power and wealth and stature and authority, and they're still not satisfied? It's because they're still in the first half of life. And how many people, regardless of how much or how little they have, can just give it away? They just have this freedom, this amazing ability to be confident and assured. They're in second half of life. And you know, it has nothing to do with how much you have or how little you have. It's about where you are in life. You know, it's probably true that only about 30% of the human population has ever hit the second half of life while they're still alive. So then what happens to the rest of us? You know? Well, first of all, we rely on the mercy of God. And we know that we are called to the kingdom, even though, you know, we know about these saints, these significant holy people who have realized the kingdom in their own lifetime. And they're kind of heroes and heroines for us. One of the ways you get to the second half of life is by having role models. And that's why we honor the saints. They're role models for us. They teach us what the second half of life looks like. How are you going to get there if you don't have models? Well, that's one of the things that parents do for their children. I don't know if this is so true anymore, but 20-30 years ago, there was this feeling among parents that, you know, I'm not going to force my children to go to church. They should be allowed to choose on their own. I'm not going to, you know, direct them too much because I don't want to restrict their freedom. Well, we found out the hard way that the opposite is true. That laying down the law is exactly what you need to do for children. You need to set the boundaries because children feel safe within a certain boundaries. And if you don't set the boundaries, then they do this lifelong journey backwards. They start out with total freedom and nothing, and then in the middle of life, they find law and they become real legalistic. Or they find the externals of religion and they can really get caught up in those externals but never feel that security of the second half of life. They start out with the second half, but they don't have the first half. And so it gets reversed. So the best thing you can do for your children is, church is not an option. We just do this. Certain rules and family values, they're just not options. We're not even going to discuss this because these are the rules. And when you raise children like that, and I was raised that way, you know, I was raised by the Baltimore Catechism. We memorized the catechism and we knew it backwards and forwards. And I mean, if there was anything going on in the parish, my parents were there with all of us kids. Holy Week, First Fridays, you name it, we were there. Confession every other Saturday, whether we needed it or not, you had to make up something to say. And we grumbled a little bit about that, and we still tell jokes to, you know, we'll tell stories about that. But all four of us are very grateful for what our parents did for us. We are secure in our faith, and I think all four of us are at least moving into the second half of life. We're all in our 60s now. Took us a while, but we're getting into that second half of life. And it's possible for us to get there because our parents led us through the first half successfully and with strength.